Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Joined Saturday afternoon by David Malukas, who awaits your second IndyCar test on Monday here. So how was the first test? You know, what'd you think of the car compared to, you know, the Indy Lights car? Any big differences?
Well,
two key takeaways is just the amount of grip and downforce, and secondly, the braking is just mind-boggling. I mean, you come in and it's like, let's say, what, turn five in Barber? I mean, I brake at like 150 almost, so it's just kind of stops on the dot. And then just the incredible downforce. I mean, I take these corners and it's just like flat out. When in Indy Lights, it was kind of like a scary, you know, oversteer, like whoa, and then this was flat out easy, you know.
Like, but no question whether you're gonna make that.
Yeah. So it was. So in some ways, I'd say it's probably easier to drive than Indy Lights, but. In other ways, it's not, because it's also, to carry that much speed, it also gets really heavy. And, I was feeling it. So, I think after, like, one run, because Barber, you know, all these, you know, elevation changes and high-speed corners, I think I did, like, one run, and then I came into box and got head pads, like, everywhere. I was like, just load me up. I don't want to move. Because, I mean, like, I did the one run, and by the third lap, I was going through 15, just, like, hitting the throttle with my toe and just... It was a lot.
So the gym. That's what you should
so
do
that,
today.
I think that's what I said beforehand when you guys like, what am I gonna expect? So I guess I was right. So good job passed me. I remember in the first lap, I think I was just nonstop screaming and just swearing. I was just so excited.
Is that like a good scream and swear?
Yeah,
like, this is awesome?
Yeah, I definitely did a lot.
Yeah.
But then I kept hearing some beeping in my ears, and I thought I was queuing up on the radio, so then I stopped screaming because I thought maybe they would hear me.
So was it like screaming like a little girl screaming?
I was going, like, and then just constantly saying, you know, like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Like, because it's just so fast. So, yeah. And, yeah, I felt like a little kid again.
Aww. Like on Christmas morning when you get your favorite toy.
Exactly, yeah.
It's just a really expensive toy. So what was it like working with the guys at Dale Coyne? And, you know, describe the off-track experience of your test at Barber last week.
The Dale Coyne, everybody there was really nice. They almost feel like family there. I came in, and they've had many drivers in the past, you know, where it's like their first time. So I think going in for me, it was, they kind of already know that what I know, what I don't know from previous drivers, and they were really helpful. So anytime I was overthinking something, or I was like, oh, I don't know, I'm starting to get a little bit nervous, that wheel has a lot more buttons, I don't know. You know, and but they easily let me through, and they're like, it's fine, it's just a bigger car. So, and they were kind of keeping me at ease the whole time, and yeah, it was a very smooth experience. I mean, from the start of the day to the end of the day, everything worked like clockwork, and everybody was just really friendly, and we were having laughs between sessions, and just making fun of my physicality, and so it was a good time.
Okay, so that's what happens when
I
don't blame you. This day is kind of like stay at home, hot chocolate.
Yeah,
I'm just like not on my game. I cannot get anything right. I'm like, where are we? What are we doing?
It's very cold for those who aren't at the track. It's super windy out there.
That feeling of your shirt nose constantly being like cold to the touch.
Yes. I mean, we literally went to Target to get me a coat, and I hate it, so I stole his.
Nice.
You, Yeah.
That's pretty, so did you get the crappy one?
No. I just get the sweatshirt.
Okay. Just put the hoodie up.
Yeah, I just put my hood up if I get a little cold.
Like, you're not cold, are you? You're fine, right? I can take this.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't have a choice, do I? I was like, not really. Yeah. Not really.
You just nod your head and shake yes, yeah, say yes, and you're like, okay, yeah, that's fine.
That's the situation.
So, back to racing. I lost my train of thought there for a second. So you were the quickest out of a couple other rookies, F1 veteran Nico Hülkenberg, and I feel like there was somebody else testing. I can't remember now, but so is it important to be fastest on a test, or is it give you any more confidence heading into the test this week, anything like that?
I mean. Sure, yes, it's a great thing to have kind of at the side, but I don't think that was like the main goal. The main goal was kind of just to hope that everything was going to go smoothly, because I had a lot going through my mind, and because I was doing the C-fit, and I knew that I was going to do the test for like a long time, so that's a lot of nights of laying in bed overthinking everything.
How long was the test? Like, how long were you driving that IndyCar?
What, for that day?
Yeah.
So it was from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., but with a one-hour lunch break. And we just kept going. I mean, by the end, I think we did like 130, 140 laps. So, yeah, it was a lot. And especially on Barber, because that's, I think, one of the most physical tracks.
I think that's almost like 3 Barber races in one day, roughly.
Yeah. I mean, by the end, I was kind of... That sounded like right next to us.
That was a car potentially either on track or in the garage spinning or something.
Yeah. Or a very souped up golf cart.
Yeah, that's true. By the end of the day, so we did a long run to kind of finish it off, and they were like, okay, so we're going to finish you off, and we're going to fill up on fuel, and you go till the time runs out. And I was literally, they told me to switch engine map, and I literally had to uncrust my hand on the wheel. It took me a good 2 laps to switch. I didn't even have this. I was like, why is this so hard? When does it get so heavy? I was like, no, okay, it's corners. I'm going to have to do it later. I can't. I ran out of time because the time of your break is shortened because the car is so much quicker. So it's like, next thing you know, you're like, normally in Indy Lights, I always get distracted. So this time I got distracted by somebody videoing me, and I was like, oh, cool. Look, I'm like, oh my God, we're here. And then I had so in the beginning, that was happening a lot, but that's kind of where I figured out where the car can actually go really quick, because I was...
Because you weren't paying any attention.
I wasn't paying any attention, and I'm like, wait, you made it.
Yeah, we did that.
Okay, so I should do that next time. So, yeah. So that's kind of how my situation was.
Do you have to... This might be a really stupid question, but do you have to learn the buttons on the steering wheel? Because they're not the same.
Yeah. So they gave like a kind of a pre-event before to learn what all of them do and stuff.
Do you guys take one home and practice?
No, but when I was...
He sits in his bed with the steering wheel.
So when I was in the seat fit, I was definitely playing with it, but a lot of the stuff, they would just guide me through it, so they would just tell me to do this or that and what it does, and so then I was like, okay, cool.
It just feels like so much happening at once. Like, here, let's put you in a new car with a brand new steering wheel on this track where everything's very heavy, and then we're going to tell you how to work it without you knowing how to do any of it first.
Yeah, so that now you understand why I was overthinking everything. And then all the pre-events, all like the everything I was thinking about and what I'm going to do and how to get it going and put it, I sat in and I forgot everything. They turned the car on and it was running. I was like, and then the guy's pointing at me and I'm just like, okay, clutch, that's clutch, yeah. The next thing you know, I'm on track and I'm like, okay, what do I do? So I was really, as soon as the car started, I forgot everything. Well, actually, it wasn't even when the car started, it was when they started starting the car and I'm supposed to flip it up. I just shit my pants, I didn't do anything. I was just like, so the guy reached in and started it for me. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. Right. I'm like, oh, okay, dashes, wow, this buttons, numbers.
Like, look at this.
Yeah. What is this?
Look at all these lights.
Yeah, so I was really feeling the pressure.
But look, it turned out so
well.
So
I did one lap, and then I was like, okay, it's fine. I was
just
one lap, and then I was screaming like a little child. So I came in, and they connected me on the comm, and I was just swearing. I was like, wow, that was beautiful.
Dale Coyne was like, oh, can you keep it a little quiet there?
Yeah, I was, yeah, so, and he had, like, no emotion, because he's probably experienced it many times from other drivers.
All right,
he was like, yeah, okay, yeah, and I'm like, but, like, Dale, I mean, like, this is awesome, man. Like, this is a beautiful car, and he's like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, he's been doing it for a long time, I'm like,
yeah.
But I'm, like, having a moment, I'm like...
You're like, I need this. Yeah. I need you to reciprocate this.
And then they're
please.
Like, awesome, all right, now let's go back for a run again. Oh, okay, wait, hold on, I forgot everything again. So, yeah.
Do you think your test, by the time this comes out tomorrow, so Monday, you'll have some of that same, like, oh my god, what does this button do again? Or is it this point now, since you've done, you know, 140 laps, you've gotten the cobwebs out?
So, I...
Ew.
Well, no, I think it matches for the...
Yeah, it's Halloween week.
Yeah, it's Halloween. Yeah, it's the Spider-Man ability.
I cannot with that comment.
But yeah, so... now that's throwing me off. I didn't even think much about it, but since you pointed it out, I'm like, yeah, okay, I guess
that's... You're like, I haven't thrown in it, that's what she said yet, so yeah. we're doing good.
Yeah, but no, so I think it's definitely still going to be some cobwebs going into the Penske car, because, I mean, the wheels are different, right? And every team and the way everything's set up, it's all different. And so when I did the seat fit for them, it was already, I mean, it was very different from... Dale's side, so it's definitely gonna take some learning used to again, but the actual driving of the car, that's most likely gonna be the same. So I think that part, which is the most important part, is gonna be good.
Are you nervous for the next
I was for the first one, but this one not so much. This one I'm more kind of relaxed. It's just gonna be cool, and I'm definitely gonna...
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They're able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.
I'm going to take a lot of pictures and be like a little kid, because I'm going to be like, I'm Joe Penske.
We just had lunch next to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were critiquing how Roger ate pizza.
Oh.
Because I eat it with a knife and fork. I.
Come on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Come on.
Because
so does
I
Roger.
Don't want it, but so does Roger.
Are you like one of those people that like get a burrito and just bite from the middle?
Okay. You're gonna be so mad. I actually cut my burrito from the top and open it up and eat the inside.
Oh.
Dear God. I am so
he's even surprised.
I am so sorry we hired her. I did not know this before Shannon was hired.
Yeah. Oh. It's because I don't eat carbs.
I don't
eat the shell of the burrito.
Right, okay.
So I open it up.
You could
otherwise then you have to order it without it, and it becomes like
so
a whole
thing. So then
you just
turn it into like a bread bowl from like
yes,
from Panera.
And I just eat the inside.
Yeah, okay.
I'm done with you too.
You know, no judgment.
Uh-huh. I see.
I mean, a lot of judgment.
A lot of judgment having.
So, do you know, because you're testing with Penske, which crew from Team Penske you get to work with on Monday?
So, they're very kind of restricted on all sorts of information.
Not surprising.
But I think it's already, I don't know if it's already told. This comes out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just not going to say anything, but I just know I'm driving a Penske car.
Okay.
So I don't know. I know which one, but I don't know if I can say that. So
we'll save that for after.
Yeah. Let's just say it's one of them.
It's just one of them.
Yeah, it is one of them.
It's good to know you're not driving multiple cars.
I don't really care, but...
That's fair.
I'll just be, you know.
Keep it safe.
It is Penske, so.
Right.
That's a big name.
Let's not make him upset.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us the difference between the AeroScreen and the Halo.
So, the AeroScreen, it's kind of, it already has the Halo built in. It just adds that little screen on top of it. And when you first get into it, you're like, okay, this is really obstructing everything. I can't. Can't see anything. Also, when you're just sitting in the pit lane, it gets very hot. You know, there's absolutely no air. I mean, thankfully, Dale, they kind of spoiled me. They gave me, like, water bottles. They put a little fan on me. So I was like, wow, HMD didn't do this. Which is,
the team under the bus.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding, though. They did do it in St. Louis. But, I mean, now their drivers have little tablets. I mean, like... Oh. I didn't have that, but I know why. They already told me, so I'm not gonna say it on here. Mike's just smiling over there; he knows too. So, So,
and that's not me, Mike. By the way, that's team manager Mike in the background.
Yeah. So, sorry. So I get into it, but once you get the tube connected and you're actually on track, you literally can't know it. As soon as I leave pit lane, I forget that it's even there. And
so it doesn't really
no. And once you have that tube, it's like, it almost feels natural. Like, the way the air flows through your helmet, it's like, oh, it just feels normal. And it's actually kind of nice, because there's so many layers of protection, like, nothing gets into my visor or anything. I don't even need tear-offs anymore, so it's like, yeah, it's really nice.
It harder to get out of?
Yes, it is very awkward to get out of, and I'm trying to find a cool way, and then I talked to people at Dale, I talked to people at Penske, and there was like, there's no cool way. And I was like, okay, so I'm just gonna...
Yeah.
I look really dumb, but I guess everybody does. So, yeah, and I think, that's about it. Well, also the tube, actually, it came off one run. I didn't clip it on properly.
Yeah.
And I was like, so it's flopping around everywhere. Where do I put it? So I just put it in between my legs. Not a good idea. I ended up turning the wheel, and it upshifted, and I was like, okay, this is not good. But it got really hot. So I didn't notice it disconnected at first, and I was just, immediately, I was like, oh my god, why am I breathing hot air? I'm like, oh wait, that's my breath. Oh no. I can't. Oh, it's so hot in here. Those 5 laps for that run felt like forever. I was just like, oh my god, get back to the pits.
Can you not do it yourself? Can you not connect it? At that time, maybe.
It's very tough, because it's like a kind of like a twist, kind of pulling connect. So
you can't do that at 190 miles an hour.
Yeah, I was just flopping around. That looked really interesting. So
the visual was something else.
Yeah, so nobody sees that though. I didn't know where to put it. So I think I like shoved it between my elbow and just kept holding it down with my elbow. But I really thought this was great, and it was great until I went to the corner, and that was not good. It just started upshifting, downshifting for me. I'm like, okay, that's not good. But yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, good sir, chatting. Thank you again, and good luck on Monday, and looking forward to 2022.
Yes, thank you.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!